Brethren, it's now my great privilege to turn this meeting over to Brother Edgar Buckley from the Jackson, Michigan Ecclesia. And he's chosen as his subject, Consecration Begins with a D. Consecration begins with a D. Brother Edgar.
Thank you, Tom. Very happy to be in Chicago one more time. I was just thinking, first time I ever came to Chicago to speak, I was alone. That was in February 1961. Since that time, as far as I can remember, this is the first time I've come to Chicago alone. There's always been someone with me. But tonight, today, I'm alone, but I'm not alone. Bring a Christian love and greetings to the beloved friends from Jackson. Invite you all to our convention. We'd like to have every one of you there if it were possible. If someone would ask you a question, and that question was, what is consecration? What would your answer be? Whatever answer you give is what you believe consecration is and what you're trying to carry out. We'd like to take a whirlwind tour of consecration. We're going to try to fit an hour's talk in 45 minutes. So as a result, we may go a little faster than we would really like to do. But we're going to do the best we can, try to touch all the bases of it as possible. We want to consider the various aspects of consecration, and we have entitled it, Consecration Begins with a D. Now, Brother Russell tells us, a new creature is one who must needs have the arms to work with, the head to think with, the eyes to see with, and the feet to run with. These are all for the Lord. But there's a question here, how do you do it? I'm consecrated to the Lord, but what do I do? What does He expect of me? These are questions that will not be answered in the next 45 minutes. To get down to specifics, we almost have to have a study where each one puts in what his idea or feelings are as far as consecration and the carrying out of it. So these are general terms. But when we look at them, each word we look at, it gives us an idea of what consecration is all about, what it means. We use the word very often, but sometimes to truly define it, to truly understand it, it's not that easy. So we begin. The first thing that is necessary is to have a desire. Without the desire, there's no consecration. One doesn't consecrate to anything just to consecrate. Because you're talking about something that is not easy. So there must be a desire. Well, the scripture that we consider briefly is in Luke, the 22nd chapter and the 15th verse, where our Master, during the Last Supper, said to His disciples, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you." A desire is necessary. And the desire Christ had was one that would see that this was going to happen. Period. I've looked forward to it. I have wanted it. It is that desire. Now we must first have a desire planted within us to consecrate. But what does it take? What does it? Each one of us here who has made a consecration, look back upon that which planted the desire in your heart. Maybe we were brought up with truth parents. But still, even so, there had to be something there to plant that desire in our heart. What was it? Was it our parents? If so, what we needed was a demonstrator, someone who demonstrate to us what consecration is all about. And in some instances, indeed, it was our parents. In my case, it was my mother. So in needing a demonstrator, the scripture we wanted to use was 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the first verse. We won't have time to look these up in most cases, but we'll speak of it, as I'll say off the top of my head, as Paul said that, asking that we might be followers of him, even as he is a follower of Christ. So, thus, the need of a demonstrator. We have Christ as the best of all, and then the Apostle Paul. Now, they were indeed demonstrators, but they're not with us now. We have never seen them. What we need is someone who is with us, living contemporaneously with us, who we observe. So it is that if indeed we have seen someone, come in contact with someone who demonstrates to us what consecration is all about. Now in some instances, we have not had a demonstrator we have beheld at the time that we made a decision. But in others, we have indeed. As I said, my mother was the one that made the difference with me. There are some things I could tell that I have not time to do as far as my mother was concerned, are most precious to me, and look back upon them. Those are a legacy that I have, and because of it, I have consecrated. Having the desire and knowing a demonstrator, we then make a decision. I don't know if you ever seen any of the bumper stickers, the back of which says, "I have decided to follow Christ." Well, this is what it comes to if indeed we make a consecration. We made that decision. If anyone consecrates to anything, they must have a desire to do whatever it is they want to do. And usually we'll find that they have noted someone who has demonstrated to them what it is that they have in mind as far as their consecration is concerned. So, just in the word consecration alone, these are things that follow. Having made the decision, and the scripture that we would use, of course, the one we're also familiar with, Romans 12:1, I beseech ye, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it is that reasonable service that is our consecration. And surely it should be reasonable. And of course, when you think of a sacrifice, you think of something that's dead, that's past, that's gone, that is not. But it says a living sacrifice, because it is for God. It is not for you. It is not for I. It is for Him. We are consecrated to Him. So therefore, recognizing the fact that that consecration is only to God through Christ. Having made the decision, we find now it is a duty. And sometimes a duty is a dirty word. When it becomes a duty, it is a must. And that's what we find in Luke, the 2nd chapter, in the 49th verse. Now, Christ was only 12 years old at that time. He couldn't make a consecration. But yet, in effect, he was consecrated, because his words were, as he stayed behind to stay with the scribes or those who taught the law, because he wanted to be about his Father's business. His words are, "I must," and there that word is underlined, "must be about my Father's business." That is the duty. That's it. Having made the consecration, we must carry it out. Now we find that consecration is different. There is a difference there between the life we had before. And in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, again, very familiar with these scriptures, that we are new creatures. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not the same anymore. It's different altogether. Now, it's the Word of God that has made it that way. And it is that which in our hearts has compelled us, motivated us to do what He would have, and it is altogether different than it was before our consecration. We then note we wind up going in a different direction. It's not the same direction it was. Our hopes and aims and ambitions are not the same. We look back before we made a consecration. We had many ambitions and desires and things that we'd like to do. I don't know how many of you know this or not, but Bob Davis had the desire to sail around the world. That was something he wanted to do. And now, having made a consecration, that is no more. The direction is entirely different. It's not a matter of what I want to do. It's what the Lord wants me to do. And the scripture we have is Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. We like the diglot reading and where it speaks of it as a difficult thing. It is the difficulty that is there as well as the direction. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. That is the direction. We have a couple of side scriptures which we have not time to consider in Isaiah 6, 5 through 9 and Psalms 50 and 5. Also, as far as direction is concerned, Isaiah 30 and 21. But he speaks of this as the way, walk ye in it. Whether you look to the light, look to the left, whichever one it is. Only one way you can walk, no more. And it is, we stated, a difficult thing. And our scripture is in Luke, the 12th chapter, and the 50th verse. Christ tells us, I have a baptism to be baptized with, an immersion. And how am I straightened that would be accomplished? Well, again, that word is, how difficult will it be? Well, if we have any idea, and we counted the cost at all, if we haven't already determined that it is difficult, then we will. And I look back in my mother's case as my demonstrator and see some of the things that she went through. She indeed had a difficult time of it because of circumstances. But yet, with all that, she carried on and was an example to me. And this is what we desire to be, examples of the believers. Then it is, we have to develop. Now, this is a development. Now, any traveling in Chicago at all, you see and come across many developments where houses are put up all around you. Slowly but surely, Chicago is becoming spread out the more with developments. So it is as far as the follower of the Master is concerned. He is a developer. He's building a house. A house built upon foundation, a solid rock. Now, our scripture is 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, from 10 through 12. 1 Corinthians 3, 10, 11, and 12. To develop a house, you have to know a little something about building, and therefore you must be a master builder. The apostle tells us, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. You have to have some idea of what you are building. I, Paul, have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, whatever it is, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So it is. Then building by the Lord's grace, we hope and trust that we become master builders, rear a structure on the foundation of gold of Christ in that it is one whose consecration is indeed to the Heavenly Father. We have to do this with determination. And our scripture is found in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 2nd verse. Again, one we are very, very much familiar with. Christ saying, I am determined to know, not Christ, but Paul, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that was his determination. And we like to say the same and state it. And therefore, by that determination, carry out our consecration. But the need of determining to do so is not always easy. Having a desire, knowing it as a duty, realizing the difference, the direction, the difficulties, yet in the development, it takes determination. Anytime you're determined to do something, sooner or later it's going to get done. If you have that determination. And this is what consecration is all about. Determined to do it. If we accomplish nothing else in our lives, now the time the Lord said it enough. Just carry out that consecration. That's all. That is the thing must needs be. Determined to do so. Now we must be dedicated to that one thing. And an interesting thing about dedication, when it is done, it symbolizes something. It symbolizes that this is what it's for. Now, when we make a consecration and symbolize it, usually, the baptismal talk, we read Romans 6, 4 through 6. And note those words and think of dedication when you read them. Romans, the 6th chapter, 4, 5, and 6. Again, we're all familiar with it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, immersed. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a different thing now. It's a dedication to something else. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Ah, that's behind us now. Our dedication is God and righteousness. We are dedicated to it. They used to dedicate houses in olden times. But today we call it a housewarming. It's for a purpose. That house becomes a home. So the new creature, having been immersed into Christ, is dedicated. It is now a living, breathing follower of the Master, a living sacrifice, a burning and shining light, dedicated to Him. This is what consecration is all about. Dedication. Anyone who's dedicated to anything, having made a consecration to that, whether they call it a consecration or whatever they want to call it, this is the thing they want to carry out. And they're dedicated to that very thing. That's it. Everything else pales in insignificance. There is nothing in their lives above that which they have dedicated themselves, they consecrated themselves to do. In any case, whether it be in biology or science or anything, if they really want to do it, if they really have the desire and they're going to carry that out, they go forth for that. And lo and behold, it is a consecration. a dedication. And that's what it is with us, or should be. So being dedicated, then, one is devoted. There is a devotion that is there. There's a need of that devotion. You know, I speak of one who is devout. There's one who has a singleness of purpose. But we have a scripture we want to bring to your attention that is a very good one. It is found in Leviticus, the 27th chapter. And we'd like to begin the reading with the 19th verse. There's something to be noted here as far as the devotion is concerned. The word devoted is the word that is used. But notice what it's brought far. This is as far as the law is concerned. It has to do with the Jubilee. Again, Leviticus, the 27th chapter, and the 19th verse. During the Jubilee, when everything was to go back, start all over again, and it's a happiness for those indeed who have little. But whoever it is, when all return, whether you give or receive in order for it to be equal again, there are certain things that were stated. And if he that is sanctified the field, or he that sanctified or set about a field, will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of the money, thy estimation unto it, that is, extra, and it shall be assured to him. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. That's far as it goes. But the field, when it goes out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted, and we paraphrase, to the Lord. The possession, therefore, shall be the priest, because it's the Lord. It's devoted to him. That field's for one purpose, that's all. No more, no less. And looking at the 28th and the 29th verses. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he has, both a man and beast, and the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Now, we would like to repeat those words again and think of ourselves. Our devotion, we are devoted to the Lord. So again, every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Have you thought about that? Do you believe that you are most holy unto the Lord? Do you believe that you're consecrated to the point that you are His and devoted to Him, and therefore you are holy unto the Lord? That's a mouthful. And none devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed. Our devotion to the Lord is to the degree that we realize that we're His and we make the effort to carry that out, to prove it. It's only to that degree. Now, all these things we have here and we pointed out as far as consecration is concerned takes discipline. And again, that, just as duty is, and sometimes is a dirty word. Because it means something that is contrary to the human flesh. The old man is supposed to be gone. But lo and behold, he's still more alive, we'd like to think. The will of the old creature is supposed to be kaput, but not so. It still rears its ugly head, and so the need of discipline. The scripture that we want to use is in 1 Corinthians 9:27, where the apostle tells us that I keep my body under the subjection, lest I myself be a castaway. How easy is it to keep the body under? Sometimes it's easier than it is others. Depends on circumstances, depends on a lot of things. It depends on surrounding. It depends on the time of day. It depends on how well we feel or don't feel or what have you. It seems to have something to do with how well we can carry out discipline. The illustration I like to use, as far as discipline is concerned, is a matter of eating a piece of pie. We like pie, most of us do. I mean, pie is good. I like pie very much. And consequently, we usually can't stop with one piece. We have to have a second piece. Well, now, if discipline tells us one piece is enough, then it's just a matter of not eating anymore. It's that simple. But without the discipline, we'll have the second piece. We'll persuade ourselves, oh, we can use two. And then we can maybe read three or whatever. And before long, why, we got to a point where, because of a lack of discipline, we're in trouble. It takes discipline. And the thing of it is, somebody else no longer is disciplining us once we've grown up. It's a matter of disciplining ourselves. When we were kids, or we became parents, our parents disciplined us. We disciplined our children. It was necessary. Ah, but when it comes to ourselves, and it is necessary, disciplining us, it sometimes is very difficult. Brother Russell says that discipline is a passive thing. Well, at first I couldn't understand how that could be. But it is, because you don't do anything. Now, if you determine that you don't even need that first piece of pie, none at all, though you love it, and you do not eat it, it's a passive thing, and you don't do it. It's passive. That's discipline. But it is necessary. You have to have your priorities. You have to know what you must do and what you can't do, and have the discipline to carry it out. This is what consecration is all about. And again, it is not easy, but still, by the Lord's grace, we can do it. It is necessary. You know, this matter of exercise, which is a craze today, it's more than a craze. It actually is something whereby you can add some years to your life. Anytime you do any exercising at all, almost you'd feel, well, I get all the exercise I want to work. Well, then you retire, and well, it don't work that way, but you got enough work to do, fine. There are many ways you can exercise, but it takes discipline. Many times, when there are things that must needs be done, there are other things we'd rather do. And therefore we find the things that should be done are not. And so the discipline to not do the things we want to do, and rather to do the things we know we ought to do. One of the things it takes discipline to do, and as I speak of this, I would have to state discipline to see to it that we don't do things that we would otherwise be doing, that we might do that which the Lord would have us do, which we should desire to do and want to do. But one of the things we bear in mind, as far as our consecration is concerned, is the necessity for us to speak in His name. In order to do that, we have to want to do it. We have to declare His name. We have to make a declaration. When we made a consecration, in effect, we made a declaration, we are the Lord's, and therefore we go forth in His name. But in declaring the Lord's word, we have to have the desire to do so. Our scripture is John 17:26, where our Master says to His Heavenly Father, "I have declared Thy name." We would speak in the name of the Lord. And we use the word declare for a reason. You can speak whatever you wish. But if it is a declaration, you're declaring that as far as you're concerned, it's a fact. That's it. When we speak the truth, we bring forth the message of ransom, resurrection, and restitution. If we declare that, we believe it to be fact. We realize that much of this is by faith and that it hasn't even taken place yet. But to us, it is a fact. Because the Heavenly Father says so, He knows the end from the beginning, and He will do all His good pleasure. He's already said He's going to do it. So therefore, in declaring it, we are stating a fact. That is a declaration. And this is what the Master spoke of here in John 17:26. "I've declared Thy name." Though nobody had seen Him, because Christ had been with him. In carrying out our consecration, we have learned that we have to depend on Him. We have a dependence on Him. We have no will of our own. Although many of us, before we came into the truth, we were people who were willing to go and to do whatever it was that we put our hands to. But once we came into the truth, we found that it's all not that easy to do, and that therefore we have to depend upon Him. It seems the more we try to do, the less we accomplish. And so it is our scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, where the Apostle Paul says not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We have to depend on Him. And this is what our consecration is all about, too. Dependence upon the Lord. We don't depend on Him, we actually cannot carry out our consecration at all. It is needful and necessary. And then we come to the doing, the carrying out of our consecration. In our scripture in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, "This one thing I do, and briefly, looking back at Matthew's, the 23rd chapter and the 3rd verse, the 5th verse, we find the scribes and the Pharisees, that Christ is upbraiding them. And one of the things that He says of them is, they say and do not. And that's what we have to be careful of, that whatever we speak, that's the way we live. They judge the message by the messenger. And if we say and do not, what have we? Anytime you name the name of Christ, the apostle tells us, depart from iniquity. We have to, as best we can, live a righteous life. This is part of our consecration to the Heavenly Father. Not only is it the doing, but is the doing daily. It's an everyday thing. It's a minute-by-minute thing. We are the Lord's all the time. In our scripture in Luke 9:23, where he tells us, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. That word is ever before us, daily, and follow him. Every day, that's consecration. That's the spelling out of it. As long as you live, you're consecrated, you're devoted, you're dedicated. This is the way it is. But we do discourage. There is discouragement that comes up, especially the old man is still battling against the new creature. And as a result, in James, the first chapter, in the fifth verse, James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all and upbraids not. Well, it is that lack of wisdom that discourages us. Not knowing exactly what to do, how to act, what to say, when to say it, and so on. Those are the things that discourage us, that make it more difficult for us. So it is that we ask of God. Now there are degrees of consecration. And the scripture we want to use is Matthew's the 9th chapter and the 29th verse. We're told that Christ said to those who were blind and whom he healed from their blindness, according to your faith be it unto thee. And that's before he healed them. So in our consecration, it is a matter of according to our faith. How much faith we have in the Heavenly Father. And that faith is something that grows. And the more we are able as we go journey along in the narrow way to better be able to carry out our consecration. We come into the truth, we do the best we can, alone we look at this one or that one, this brother or sister, look at what they're doing, and I'm not able to do this and to do that. That can be a discouragement. But lo and behold, we have to realize we are of different capacity, to different capabilities. The Lord doesn't judge us by another brother or another sister. And then the death of the will. That's the part of the consecration. It begins at the time we make the consecration, our will is dead. The death of the will. And our scripture is Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. Ye are dead. And your life is hid. So you're not dead as far as you're concerned, but as far as your will is concerned, you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. What a difference it makes to be hid in Christ. Now that scripture that we spoke of in Luke 9:23, I quoted, I guess I didn't give the quotation, but he has it on the board. Luke 9:23. Well, the scripture we ought to use here for a matter of denial is Matthew 16:24, which is, quote, word for word, the same as Luke 9:23, except the word daily isn't there. But he says, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. It is that matter of denial of self, of self-will, of self-desire. Once that is denied, then we can go forth. And we find the need and the necessity throughout our lives, certain things to deny ourselves and so on, that which sometimes could be rightfully ours. In a consecration to Heavenly Father, we find a need of a disinterest. And we know what we mean by that. It's a disinterested love. And that's John, the 15th chapter, the 9th and the 12th verses. Christ telling us, as I have loved you, that ye love one another. And his love was such he laid down his life for us. A disinterested love that goes beyond a filial love, which is a very precious love. But a disinterested love gives without the thought of getting in return. And this is part of our consecration. To do because we want to do, and to be because we want to be for the Lord. And we find that if indeed the consecration means anything to us at all, it is a delight. That's a beautiful word. A delight to do the Heavenly Father's will. As far as the old creature's concerned, the old man, it's anything but. But to the new creature, it is a delight. And our scripture is Psalms 40:8, where Christ tells us, and again, we're so familiar with it, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And that's what we want to do also. That's how we want to feel. And finally, if indeed by the Lord's grace, these things have meant that much to us, and throughout our lives we've tried to carry these things out the best we can, then we come to our deliverance. Scripture we like to use is 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 9th and 10th verses. And note the apostle's words here, and think about the time when the Lord says it is enough. Having looked up and lift up our heads, knowing our deliverance draweth nigh, the time when the Lord says it is enough, when we are delivered. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 9th verse. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Yes, that's before we made the consecration, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. That is the Adamic death. And does deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And lo and behold, our consecration, a time when the Lord delivers us into his magic, into his kingdom. We look back on our consecration, and lo and behold, this is what we have found. We first must have the desire. The need of a demonstrator is there, though sometimes we have not noted any because we haven't been in contact with the brethren. But if we have a demonstrator, usually we find that our decision is to follow Christ. And if our desire is there to the point where whether we have a demonstrator or not, we've decided to follow him. We know that it is a duty. There is a difference. We go in a different direction. It is indeed difficult because of the old man. There is a development that is there, and a determination, a dedication, a devotion, a discipline that is necessary, a declaration of the truth, a dependence upon him, the doing of the Lord's will, to do it daily. The discouragement is there. That which with the Lord's help, we can overcome. There are degrees of it. It's not something where you're consecrated, and lo and behold, you're fully consecrated as far as the Lord is concerned, but you're far from that which the Lord is going to make you if you indeed let him. In the death of the will, the denial of self, the disinterested love that is needful, a delight to do it for him, and lo and behold, deliverance. Yes, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.